The reading this morning is from Acts 15, 36 through 41. And after some days, Paul said to Barnabas, "Let us return and visit the brothers in every city where we proclaimed the word of the Lord and see how they are." Now Barnabas wanted to take with them John, called Mark. But Paul thought best not to take with them one who had withdrawn from them in Pamphylia and had not gone with them to the work. And there arose a sharp disagreement, so that they separated from each other. Barnabas took Mark with him and sailed away to Cyprus, but Paul chose Silas and departed, having been commended by the brothers to the grace of the Lord. And he went through Syria and Cilicia, strengthening the churches. This is the word of the Lord.
Morning, family of Grace. Excited to be here with you this morning. If you don't know me, my name is Miles Nelson. I am the College and Growth Groups pastor here at our SLO campus, and I'm excited to be here opening up God's Word with you this morning. So whether you're here at our SLO campus or you're down in Five Cities, just so grateful to be worshiping together as a church family this morning. So our text this morning, we are going to be in Acts chapter 15, verse 36 to 41. And so far in the book of Acts, we've had all of this success in the church, all of this mission going on, all of these people coming to faith. And then we get to this part in Acts chapter 15, and there's this little hiccup that happens with this argument between Paul and Barnabas. And so I'll be honest, when I first was reading through this, you know, I'm going looking at the what text I'm going to be preaching on when Tim asked me to preach, and I'm excited. I open up Acts. I start reading, and I was like, "Really, Tim? Like, what are you gonna do with this? Like, the argument text? Thanks. Have a nice vacation. See you when you get back." But then I read it a few more times, and I really feel like God started to show me what was going on here, the importance of what was happening in this story. There's this undesirable circumstance where Paul and Barnabas have this argument in Acts. But over and over again, God showcases his glory through using imperfect people to accomplish his work. All throughout the Bible, God is doing this. And this story that we have in Acts is no different. So Paul and Barnabas, who are these partners in ministry, have what the Bible calls a sharp disagreement. And the text shows us that no matter our differences with people, that we must keep moving forward on mission for Jesus. So let's ask God together to reveal his truth to us today as we come under his word. Pray with me. God, we thank you so much for this morning. We praise you. We lift you up, even as we have worshiped you through song already this morning, that there is amazing grace for us, that you are our cornerstone, God, and that you are our vision as we follow you and you lead us beyond where our faith can go. And God, I pray now as we come to the text this morning that you would allow these words to come alive, that they would change us, that they would transform us, and that we would see the importance of the task that you have given us to go, therefore, and make disciples. So Jesus, we lift this morning up to you, and we praise you for it. In your name, amen. So before we jump into the story of the text this morning, I want to look at who's in it. Who are the historical figures? Who are the characters in this story, in this narrative, in Acts? And so we're going to look at them briefly here. So you got Paul, first guy in the story. So you got Paul. He's an apostle. If you know the story of Paul, his transformation from Saul to Paul, he is the apostle who was, Jesus met him on the road to Damascus. He's on his way to persecute, imprison, possibly kill more Christians. Jesus meets him, transforms his life right there on the spot. He's a missionary, he's a church planner, he's a theologian, and like we said, he's a former Christian killer. We have Barnabas. Barnabas is a disciple from Jerusalem. He's part of the Jerusalem church. He's a teacher and a leader in that church, and he's somebody who invested in younger leaders. So this guy who invests in these younger people. He was known as the son of encouragement. He's got that really encouraging spirit. Reminds me a lot of Pastor Ken, just that really encouraging guy that everybody loves being around. It's kind of Barnabas. He's that really encouraging person. And what we saw about Barnabas last week was in Galatians chapter 2, him and Peter get in this situation where Paul just has to confront them and rebuke them for their behavior. And you got John Mark. who is a disciple from Jerusalem. His mother is Mary, who hosted prayer meetings. She hosted the prayer meeting when they were all praying for Peter to be released from prison. He's also Barnabas' cousin. Colossians 4:10 tells us that. And Mark also wrote the Gospel of Mark. He did so between the years about AD 55 and 59, which is about 4 to 8 years after what we're talking about this morning. So what happens in Acts 15, 36 to 41, about 4 to 8 years later, Mark ends up writing the Gospel of Mark. Then you have Silas. Silas is a leader and teacher also in the church. He spent time with Paul and Barnabas in Antioch, as we saw last week, and he was chosen by Paul, or will be chosen by Paul, for the second missionary journey, and he was known just as this faithful guy. Silas is this faithful guy who's committed, willing to go, and that is Silas. So now, as we know who's in the story, who these people that we're talking about, kind of their characteristics, their personalities, let's look at the text together. So it begins with Paul addressing Barnabas in verse 36, and he says this, "After some days, Paul said to Barnabas, 'Let us return and visit the brothers in every city where we proclaimed the word of the Lord and see how they are.'" So this sounds like a great idea. Let's go back out. Let's strengthen the churches. We've been there. We've planted these churches. We've equipped these people. Barnabas, let's go back out and let's encourage these guys and these people in these churches and see how they're doing. So you have Paul and Barnabas. They're a team. They've been set apart by the Holy Spirit. Back in Acts chapter 13, verses 1 through 3, it says the Holy Spirit set apart Paul and Barnabas to do the work of the Lord. And so they're on the same mission together, and they agree to go out. So the first thing we see in this story is that God's people must agree on the mission. God's people must agree on the mission. As believers, we must agree on what God has called us to do. This isn't just in Acts 15 where we see this, but really this is part of the grand narrative of all of Scripture. God sets apart Israel to show the other nations what he is like. He sets apart prophets to declare his word to the people. Jesus gives us the great commission to go therefore and make disciples. So God has been giving his people mission from the very first pages of Scripture. It's not this new thing that just all of a sudden appears in Acts as the church is growing, but it's really been a theme of the Bible as God has been working with his people, setting them apart, giving them a job to do, setting them apart, giving them a mission to complete and to go on. And we, like all of God's people throughout history, have been given a mission. We've been set apart to go into the world around us, near and far, and to share the good news of Jesus, to pour ourselves out, pour our lives out into other people so that we would share the good news and make disciples of the nations. So as believers, we must agree on what God has called us to do, and that's to make disciples. God has set us apart to make disciples, to go and share the good news with those around us, those in our lives. So we must, as God's people, agree on that. We must agree on the mission that we have been set apart by God to make disciples. So these guys, Paul and Barnabas, they've given their lives to proclaim the gospel. They have given their lives up to do this. They've built up churches. They're making disciples, and this isn't some sightseeing tour for them, where Paul's like, "Hey, Barnabas, let's go on a trip and just go hang out and go to the beach." And Greece sounds like it's nice this time of year. Like they're not doing that. They're like, "Hey, this is hard. This is labor. This is work. Let's go encourage the churches. Let's go on this journey." And it's difficult, and sometimes it's not comfortable, and it's not easy. But they keep going, and they keep doing it anyway. And I think a lot of times this is what will happen to me. I'm not necessarily to put this on you, but I'll just share. This is my perspective sometimes, where I can read something like this, and I can be like, "Well, that's all fine and good for Paul and Barnabas to do that in the first century, to just up and leave and go plant churches and encourage everybody and preach the gospel. And, you know, that's great that they did that. But, you know, I've got a job, a family, I got stuff going on in my life. I can't just up and leave and go do this mission that God wants me to do." But God doesn't call everybody to pack up and leave. He calls some, for sure. He calls some and he sends them far away. sends them on a journey. And maybe that's not you, but what God has called us to do, every single one of us, is God has called us to make disciples. He has called us to make disciples. So just like God sent Paul and Barnabas, God has sent you and God has sent me to our workplaces, to our homes, to our neighborhoods, to just the everyday stuff in our lives. God has sent us there to share the good news of Jesus and make disciples. And as Christians, we must agree on that priority. This call to make disciples is inescapable in the Christian life. It's not an option that you can choose to sign up for when you put your faith in Christ. Would you like to make disciples? Yes or no? That's not on a card anywhere when you sign up. And so when we put our faith and our trust in Christ, we have been given this mission to go, therefore, and make disciples and share this good news that we have been given with others to go and share this with them. And when we do this, when we live out of this mission, we will really find true joy and fulfillment in what God has called us to do. It might not be easy, but God has called us to do it nonetheless. And I can make so many excuses not to live like this. I don't know about you, but I can make excuses not to do these things. And I've put a couple of spots on the outline this morning. Just personally, I'd love for you to just look at that. Just take a minute. Write down maybe one or two things. Just think through, what are some of the excuses that you can give yourself to not be on mission for Jesus and make disciples? And I'm going to give you two of mine while you do that. So here's two of my excuses that I can use. I have a fear of being that neighbor, if you know what I mean. Maybe you feel like that too. You know, you don't want to be that neighbor on the street. You don't want to be that weird person, that weird Christian church person down the street. You just want to be normal. That's how I feel. I just want to be normal. I want to be liked. I just kind of want to be like everybody else, and I want to be that weird guy where people like cross the other side of the street and they don't want anything to do with me. And so I live in that sometimes. Like, I'm just afraid. I don't want to be that person. I don't want to be that way. And another thing is I have a fear of opening my life to the messiness that can come sometimes when we build relationships with non-Christians. And I think I have this unnecessary fear of, you know, I've got this, my little family and my little home, and I've got all this stuff set up, and I just don't necessarily want to open myself to these different types of conversations or these different experiences or these different ways that people live their life, and I just want to just protect my family and myself, and I don't really want to open myself up to that. And so I sometimes live out of that fear, and I've had to repent of these attitudes. I've had to have the Holy Spirit show me, you can't live like this, Miles. You can't live out of this fear. Yeah, I need you to live out of your identity that you're a child of God who's been saved and redeemed and has been sent on mission to the world. Don't live out of what other people might think about you, but live out of what God thinks about you. And so the question I have for us is, what do we need to repent of? What are these excuses that we can come up with that maybe we've been using? And we need to realize we need to stop this, and we need to just get to work and get going on mission. And what are these attitudes or these actions that we need to repent of so that we can repent, move on, pursue God, and live out the mission that he has called us to do? Something that we see all over the Bible, and you see it every time you read, is that God uses imperfect people to accomplish his work. God uses imperfect people all the time to accomplish his work. Paul and Barnabas, who have been friends for over 15 years at this point, are in agreement with the mission. They recently went out, and now they have agreed to go out again and do what they have been called to do. So, however, even though they agreed on the mission, they disagreed on how to accomplish the mission. So while we must agree on the mission, the other thing we can see from this is that God's people can disagree on the method. We must agree on the mission, on the what we're supposed to do, but we can disagree on the method, on the how to get it done. And that's what happens here in the text. But there's a warning from the text, is that we need to be careful in our attitudes, in our actions with other people. And how we go about disagreeing with others needs to be done well, and it needs to be done carefully. So Paul and Barnabas agreed on the mission. However, when it came to how they accomplished it, an argument arose. And we don't have the dialogue of what happened, but here's a possibility. Okay, this isn't in the Bible, so I'm not adding anything to that. I did not receive a revelation from the Lord this week in this way. So here's a possibility of the dialogue. Okay, you have Barnabas. Barnabas is talking to Paul, and he goes, hey, Paul, I'm down to go. I think that we should take John Mark and give him another chance. Okay, and then you've got Paul, and he's like, oh, Barnabas, I'm so glad that you agree on going out on the mission together, but no way, I don't want to take Mark. He abandoned us on that first journey back in Cyprus. Do you not remember when that happened? And Barnabas, yeah, but we should encourage him and take him with us because, you know, God can use him, Paul. And then Paul, you know, Barnabas, this is too important. We need people that are focused, people that are dedicated, people that are committed 100%. He's not faithful. I need somebody like Silas. And they're just going yes, no, back and forth. And until finally, the argument becomes so heated that they decide not to continue on with one another. So Barnabas could have finally said something like, you know what, if you're not willing to take Mark, we're just going to go to Cyprus and we're just going to go do our thing and we just got to get out of here. And then Paul could have finally answered, you know what, fine, Barnabas, I'm going to take Silas and we're going to Syria, see you later. And then they part ways. Like I said, it's not in the Bible. However, if you've had a similar experience with somebody where you've just butted heads, you can't agree on how to do something, I've had that. Maybe look something like that, where you start out with, yeah, I like this idea. We should do it like this. No, we should do it like this. And then you just can't get over it. And then finally, it's just fine. We're just going to go our separate ways and do it individually. So we don't have the dialogue of what their sharp disagreement could have looked like. But Paul, we know Paul didn't want to take Mark because he did leave during the first journey. We don't know why. But in Acts 13:13, we're told that Mark leaves shortly after Cyprus and heads home to Jerusalem. We're not told why, but obviously Paul has a problem with the reason because he doesn't want to take him along. However, Barnabas, is, as we've discussed, is this encouraging young leader trainer guy who wants to give Mark another shot. And he's willing to look past Mark's previous unfaithfulness to give him another chance. And we also see this willingness in Barnabas back in Acts chapter 9 when he, out of all the disciples, he's the only guy. When Saul comes in, and there's this conversion that happens with Saul, and all the other people in the church in Jerusalem are like, are you kidding me? That guy? Like, do you know about him? And Barnabas says, hey, just give him a chance. Just give him a chance. Let him prove himself. Let's see if this is real. And he's the only guy who's willing to step out and give Saul a shot. And when Barnabas did that, God gave the church the greatest missionary and theologian that it's ever known outside of Jesus himself, and someone who wrote over half the New Testament. So you have Barnabas who's willing to train this guy, Mark, give him another chance and go out, and he's more committed to developing young leaders, and Paul is more committed to protecting and pursuing the mission. Neither person is wrong in how they want to approach it. Neither person was even wrong for disagreeing about how to get this done. But they were both wrong in how they disagreed about doing it. The Bible could have just said, Paul and Barnabas disagreed and went their separate ways. But it doesn't say that. It says that they had a sharp disagreement and then that they left. And so that word is in there for a reason for us to see that it was more than just merely agreeing to disagree about how to do something. But they had a problem with each other. Paul and Barnabas had different personalities and perspectives on how to get stuff done. God made them who they were. Paul was focused. He was a go-getter. He had a desire to take those who were willing to bear the difficulty of mission. Barnabas was an encourager. He was a teacher. He's willing to go slow, to develop and give second chances. And this is real. People are different, and people think differently. We have all been created. We've all been made with different personalities and perspectives. And this is good, and this is God-given. There will be natural conflict in our lives with people that isn't caused by sin. Sometimes we just disagree with people. It's not necessarily sinful. We just have a different idea about how to do something. People will have different ways of doing things, and sometimes that just causes conflict. We need to expect this. We need to pray that God would allow us to handle it well. We need to be careful how we handle the conflict so we don't damage relationships with other people and we don't damage what other people, how other people would view God based on how we interact with one another. I was having a conversation with my brother about this text last week. So my brother Darren and I, we're both pastors, and so we like to bounce sermon ideas off each other. And so we're on FaceTime last week, and I'm asking him, hey, this makes sense. You know, can you look at this text with me and see if this is all working? And he's looking at it, and he's looking at his Bible, and we're on the computer, and he goes, look at the grand narrative of Acts. It's all about multiplying. You know, your guys, your church, you nailed it with that title, multiply. That's what Acts is all about. It's all about making disciples and building the church. And then you have this little half of a verse hiccup in Acts. You know, there's some things elsewhere in Acts, but like just right here, you got all this mission going on. There's just a little thing inserted. Half a verse of conflict. But Paul and Barnabas still go do what they talked about doing. They agreed on what to do. They disagreed on how to do it. Granted, they disagreed poorly. But then they moved on and they got to work. And then he said this phrase. He said, the conflict is bookended with mission. And I had to think about that. I said, man, that is such a good way to say that. The conflict is bookended with mission. You have, let's go on the mission. Okay, let's do it this way. I disagree. And then they still go do it. They didn't stop, they didn't pause, they didn't wait, they just went, and they still got to work. And the author, Luke, the author of Acts, could have given us more. He could have spent a whole chapter or more on the conflict. He could have given us the whole dialogue. I could have just read it, and we wouldn't have had to make it up. He could have given the real reason John Mark left. He could have given us the real reason that Paul didn't want to take him. He could have recorded who he thought was wrong, who he thought was right, what method he liked best, and which one he wanted to go with. But he doesn't do that. God doesn't have Luke record that for us in Scripture. What he gives us is half of a verse bookended with mission. Half a verse of conflict bookended with mission. And so the question I have for us this morning, is for myself and for all of us, is are we going to let the conflicts in our life be bookended with mission? Are we going to let the little half a verse hiccup in our life start with mission and then happen and then keep going? Or are we going to let a conflict with somebody derail us from what God has called us to do? Are we going to let an argument with somebody make us say, you know what, I'm out. You know, that ministry, I was serving in it, it was great, it was fruitful, I can't get along with that person, so I'm done. Or I was hurt by that person at that church, so I'm going to go somewhere else. I'm out. Or are we going to work through it? And are we going to keep going on what God has called us to do? We must be willing to set aside our differences. They're real. People get hurt. People say things. People do things. And we need to take care of that with people. We need to go to people when we've been hurt. But we need to also move on and keep going. We need to be willing to set aside our differences, set aside our methods, our ways of doing things. And we must be willing to work through the conflict for the sake of the mission. We need to read this story for many reasons, but one reason is to see the conflict and then take the example of what not to do with this argument that Paul and Barnabas have. When we come to an impasse with another believer, be it about maybe a theological issue that isn't maybe so black and white in Scripture, but there are many that are, and those should be defended. Absolutely. Or it's about a preaching style, a Bible translation, musical styles, things that churches have split over. Whatever it is, we need to be willing to set aside our differences and our preferences for the sake of the gospel, for building up the saints, and for reaching the lost. There are too many souls at stake for us to be arguing about our opinions. There are things in the Bible that are black and white, concrete, and we should fight for those, and we should argue for those. But when it comes to opinions, you can have them, that's fine. I can have mine, that's fine. But there's too many souls at stake for us to just sit around all day arguing about our opinions, and we need to get to work. When I first came to this church, this is a moment of honesty for me. When I first showed up at this church, I was a music guy. I had all these ideas about music and church and how it should go, and so I'd I'd sit in the service sometimes, you know, back right, where all the good people sit. And I realized that I've only ever sat on the right side of a church my entire life. I don't know what that's about. Sorry, all you left people over here. But so I was sitting back there, and I would sit in a service, and I would just kind of go, oh, I wouldn't do it that way. I don't like that song, you know. And the band was all right. The mix was okay, you know. If I was in charge, we'd play these songs. And the Holy Spirit started to prompt me, like, what are you doing? What are you doing? Like, it doesn't matter. Your opinion, you can have it, but it doesn't matter. Just worship the Lord. Just shut up and sing. Like, get out of your head and worship Jesus. Like, you know, your opinions are there, and that's fine, but at some point, you just got to get past it and move on and get to work for what God wants you to do. So there's a point where we need to just come together as people, and if we have different ways of doing things, that's fine. We just need to get past it and get to work. About 5 years ago, I was working with the college group here, and I was an intern under Pastor Jeff, and I was in charge of leading the music teams. I came in, I had these certain ideas about how to do things. I had songs, I had like this band structure I was going to set up, and you know, my method was right, of course. And so I came in, I had those ideas, and I started just kind of cranking. I'm like, oh, I'm doing all this work, and things are going great. Little did I know that the way I was doing things, my method, was hurting some of the other leaders who had been in there serving before me. I didn't talk to anybody about how I wanted to do things. I didn't approach the other leaders and say, hey, I'm thinking about changing some stuff. What do you think about this? I just came in and was like, execute, execute, execute. It's like Paul, like, let's go, let's go, let's go, focused, let's do this, this is going to be awesome. And I didn't know it was hurting some people. And so my method wasn't wrong, my structure wasn't wrong, the songs were good biblical songs. They weren't wrong, they weren't bad songs to sing. But the way I was going about it maybe wasn't the best way. And so thankfully God prompted the people that I had been hurting to say something about it. And so they talked to Jeff. Jeff brought us together in his office, and we sat there, and they were able to share with me, you know, you've been doing it this way, and that's fine, but you haven't talked to me about this, and this is hurting me because I don't necessarily agree with you. And in that moment, I had a choice. I could have either said, you know what, that's whatever, like, my way is the right way, and we're going to do what I want to do. Or I could have flexed, and I could have given up my opinions and my personalities for the sake of working together with this person for the mission of leading this worship ministry in the college group. And so I could have refused to flex, I could have kept going, but thankfully God prompted in me a willingness to say, you know what, my way may not be the best way. I'd love to learn from you. You've been here before me, and maybe I should just pump the brakes and take a step back and let's work on this together. And that ended up being a sweet relationship with that person. So Paul and Barnabas each could have flexed. You know, Paul could have said, you know what, Barnabas, let's take Mark. Just stop arguing about this. Just, you know, throw him in the car. Let's go. I don't have cars, but you get the point. And Barnabas could have flexed. He should have said, you know what, Paul, I'm just going to default to your leadership on this one. And we're a team. I don't want to break up the team. Mark, I'm sorry, but maybe next time, buddy. And they could have just gone and done it. But that's not what happens. Neither person was willing to give up their method, and so it caused this riff and this really sharp disagreement between these dear friends. Another reason we need this text and others like it is to see that the Bible doesn't hide the flaws of God's people. The Bible doesn't hide the flaws of God's people. God could have easily done that. Easy. He could have chosen to keep the failures of his servants hidden. He could have kept these guys as these squeaky clean heroes of the faith, people to emulate and be like and aspire to be, these models of biblical perfection. But God doesn't do that. He allows us to see what kind of people he calls his own. People who are broken, people who are messed up, people who are imperfect, people who sometimes sharply disagree with one another. I think a reason he puts that in there is so that we wouldn't look to Paul or Barnabas, or Mark, but that we would look to Jesus. Because we can look at Paul and say, man, Paul's great, but Paul also kind of screwed up. And we can look at Barnabas. Barnabas is great, but Barnabas kind of screwed up. And that's like us. Sometimes we can go accomplish great things for God, but we can screw up. And God loves to use imperfect people and work through imperfect people to accomplish his work. And he wants us to focus on and look at Jesus, the one who took all of our mess-ups, all of our screw-ups, all of our imperfectness, brokenness, and sin on the cross and died for us. And he says, look at him. You can look at Paul, but look at Jesus. He's the one that you need to focus on. God uses imperfect people to accomplish his work all over the Bible. You look at Peter. Peter denied Christ three times. Three times he denied Christ. He said, I don't know him. You have Paul. Paul used to murder Christians. You have Barnabas. Barnabas has acted hypocritically on this mission to share the gospel with the Gentiles. You have John Mark, who's abandoned the mission and left. We don't know why, but he did. But what we see in Scripture is that these men repented of their failures, and they kept going. They repented, and they kept moving forward on mission for Jesus. And this is so important for us to see because we experience this. We can mess up, we can act hypocritically, we can ignore the mission, and when we do, we need to repent, and we need to keep moving forward on mission for Jesus. In studying this text and reading the last couple weeks some commentaries and notes on this passage, I came across this quote, and I just loved it. I thought it was so good. I want to share it with you. It says this: the Bible never tries to hide the faults of God's servants. The Word of God turns the light on and gives record of their failures just as truly as of their successes and victories. This is both for our warning and our encouragement. Are you encouraged? Are you warned? Let us be encouraged in knowing God will use us and does use us. And also let us be warned on how to disagree, how to be willing to maybe flex in our methods for the sake of the mission when we need to. No matter our differences with other people, we must keep moving forward on the mission for Jesus. But God's people must agree on the mission, God's people can disagree on the method, and God's people will be used by God to accomplish his work. We can agree on what we need to do, can disagree on how to do it, God's going to use us either way. God's people will be used by God to accomplish his work. There's these two guys, Paul and Barnabas. They're these faithful Christian guys who are living on mission for Jesus, going and doing what God has called them to do. They came to a disagreement on how to accomplish that. They parted ways, and then look what is recorded for us here. And there arose a sharp disagreement so that they separated from each other. Barnabas took Mark with him and sailed away to Cyprus. But Paul chose Silas and departed. Having been commended by the brothers to the grace of the Lord, he went through Syria and Cilicia, strengthening the churches. So they disagreed, they parted ways, and God worked through the conflict. They disagreed, they parted ways, and God worked. There was conflict, God worked through the conflict. Instead of one team, God sends two. Instead of quitting, the Holy Spirit prompts them to continue. The disagreement didn't kill the mission. They didn't pull out of the ministry. They didn't pull out of what they had been tasked to do. The disagreement didn't kill the mission, but rather God worked through it and multiplied the workers. Maybe the impact could have been greater if they stayed together. Maybe. Maybe the impact could have been greater if they had both been willing to flex. Maybe. We don't know. And clearly God doesn't think we need to know, or he would have told us. And I know myself, and I just want to know so bad. I'm like, what did John Mark do? You know, we love to do that as people. We're like, what'd they do? You know, what'd they do? Tell me. Like, it's okay. It's not gossip. We're just talking. Like, we need to know this information. We got to help this person. Tell me. Right? Yeah, you guys know. You know what I'm talking about. So I just want to know, like, what did John Mark do? Tell me. And God says, no, you don't need to know. He left. That's it. And then Paul's got a reason. We don't know what it is. But God worked through the conflict. He doesn't think we need to know, but what he thinks we need to know is that God worked through the conflict of imperfect people to keep the mission on track. And we need to know that. Because no matter the personal struggles you have with somebody, no matter the personal differences or the personal discord you may have with someone, God will still do his work. Because it's not up to you to change the world. It's up to God. And he's going to do it with or without us. But God wants to use us because he does use us. And he has used his people throughout the scope of Scripture. And he wants to keep doing it. Not only did God work through the conflict of these two men, God also healed their broken relationships. We see elsewhere in Scripture that Paul and Barnabas and Paul and Mark, these relationships are both healed. In 2 Timothy 4, verse 11, Paul is saying this to Timothy, who's this young pastor. He says this. He says, "Get Mark and bring him with you, for he's useful to me for ministry." And we're like, wait a minute. Now, Mark's useful. You didn't want anything to do with Mark in Acts 15. But then you come to this 2 Timothy, and he says, "Hey, get Mark. Get him. Bring him. I need Mark. Bring him with you. He's useful. I want Mark." And so something has happened in the life of Paul and Mark where Mark has proven himself faithful, and maybe Paul's flexed a little bit and said, "You know what? Mark did do that. He did bail, but, you know, Mark's a great guy. I'm going to give him a second chance. Get Mark. Bring him. He's useful. Let's go do this." And God healed that relationship. And elsewhere in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 6, Paul's talking about Barnabas, and he says, he refers to Barnabas as this fellow worker that shares in his life and in his labor. He refers to them in this really loving way as he's this partner in ministry with me. And so God has been healing this relationship. And what we see is these guys eventually understood that no matter our differences, we got to keep moving forward on mission for Jesus. Yeah, we had an argument. Yeah, I didn't want John Mark to come. But God wants us to keep going. So let's just keep going. And let's work through our differences. We can easily overlook these six verses. I actually read the text. I just took it out just to see how it would read. It doesn't have to be in there. It could just not exist and everything would be fine. And the narrative of Acts would flow and things would be happening. But for some reason, God wants us in here, and he wants us to see this conflict. And we can easily overlook it, but it's so critical in displaying how Paul and Barnabas were a part of God's saving work in the world, and also how we can be a part of God's saving work in the world. We, like Paul and Barnabas, should agree on the mission. Go, therefore, and make disciples. That's a non-negotiable. We got to do this. We, like Paul and Barnabas, can disagree on how to do it. We can disagree on the method. But unlike Paul and Barnabas, we need to do so in a loving way and be willing to flex. We, like Paul and Barnabas, will be used by God to do his work. I want to leave us with this quote. It's from a guy, John Piper. He's an author, theologian. He was a pastor for a lot of years. And he has this quote about this situation that's going on here. And so I want to share it with you as we head out into our mission fields this week, to our jobs, to our families and our neighborhoods. And I want us to read this together. It says this: "The defeats of God's people are always temporary, and the celebrations of hell are very soon ruined by the sovereign wisdom and grace of God." Paul and Barnabas disagreed. That could have ruined everything. I think for a minute there, Satan was like, "Yeah, I'm doing it. I'm going to win." And then God's like, "No, you're not. They're going to go. They're not going to go together, but they're going to go. And things are going to happen, and mission is going to move forward, and this is going to be accomplished." So I want that quote to comfort us, to encourage us, to compel us this week as we leave church and we go out into the world. When we go back home, we go back to our street in our neighborhood and live differently, where we are dedicated to the mission of Jesus, where we get out of our excuses, where we repent of our excuses, and we remember that no matter the differences that we might have with somebody, that we need to keep moving forward on mission for Jesus. Let's pray. God, I thank you so much for this day, for this morning where we can come and worship you. We can come and lift you up and praise your name. And God, I thank you so much for this little part in the book of Acts. You could have left it out, but you left it in there. And we need to read it for a reason. And God, I pray that we would see this and say, we need to agree on the mission. And if I disagree with somebody, that's okay, but let's do it in love. And let's do it in a way where maybe we're willing to flex a little bit to keep moving forward. And know that no matter what happens, that you're going to use us, that you're going to keep accomplishing your work through imperfect people. God, we give this day up to you. We thank you for it, and we pray that you would work in and through our lives. We ask this in your name. Amen.